Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
And we are going to turn our attention to forecasting and the power of knowing and being able to predict what's next. It's definitely a superpower, especially if it's accurate.
Yes, indeed. And it can be very helpful. It would have been very helpful for handling the COVID-19 pandemic that's hit the world so hard. Many businesses are still reeling from the disruption of this pandemic, and they're wondering what the economy will look like after. Would it have been better if they were more prepared?
For sure. I mean, according to a study done by Science Direct, companies that strategically prepare themselves for the future outperform other companies, both in terms of profits and company value. And if you think about it, it is quite straightforward, right? The prepared ones will always do better.
Indeed. But very few companies actually prepare systematically for the future, which I really find very surprising. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. So could corporate foresight have helped companies somehow during this downturn?
Interesting. What exactly is corporate foresight? Well, we asked our guest on the line, Alessandro Fagnani, who is head of scenario consulting Shaping Tomorrow. Alex, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Helen, good morning. I'm fine. How about you?
Ah, not too bad. We are looking forward to the public holiday tomorrow. That's something we can forecast.
Well, that's quite close. So I would say there is no error in that.
Corporate foresight. This has existed for many years, but could you define it for us?
Sure. Well, corporate foresight is an ability that a firm can develop to be prepared to a range of possible futures. So the consensus has slowly moved away from prediction because we have sort of figured out that predictions are not so correct. And so what we're doing now in foresight is more about looking at a range of scenarios, right? Possible scenarios.
Okay.
And then based on that range of scenario, we prepare some strategies and protocols beforehand. So basically it's about using the futures in plural, right, scenarios, to change present strategy, to reconfigure it so that we are prepared when things happen afterwards.
And yet, we've already indicated that some firms don't do this, or at least don't see the importance of it. Why is that?
Well, there are many reasons for that. The first is that corporate foresight has been in the public domain for a while, for a few decades, but it has been covered by a veneer of mystique and confidentiality, because it's really close to the strategy of firm, and it doesn't really trickle down to the masses. So just recently, because of a series of disruption in the environment, including financial recessions and the pandemic and so on, we are seeing more and more practitioners actually picking it up, starting to dig deeper, right? But historically, it has been quite covered by confidentiality.
Alex, I'm very curious as you talk about corporate foresight and how you've made foresight a field that you're an expert in. I know fortune telling doesn't make quite as much money, but how did you stumble upon getting into this industry?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, the thing is, I really stumbled upon it. You did use the right word, because most of us as foresight experts, we do stumble upon it. I've heard of many colleagues that literally coming across and starting to do it almost by chance. In fact, I was in Shanghai being a consultant at that time, and I wanted to do a master's degree just because I wanted to increase my professional excellence. I started to look for degrees, and I found out this degree in Taiwan, in Taipei, looking at the future, and I was quite intrigued.
Right.
And I applied. I was lucky to be admitted with a scholarship, and then that was it. I started studying there, and I fell in love with the discipline. It really resonates with me, right? And then I just made it my career and came to Singapore to pursue a doctorate on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Alex, sorry. I wanted to understand then a little bit more about how it really works. So what you're saying is you take a series of scenarios and you assess those scenarios and you look at the implications for businesses. So can you give us some examples of scenarios sitting here in the here and now that you would be thinking about for the next 5-10 years?
Okay, perfect. So let me go a bit deeper. First, when we do these scenarios, we have a bunch of methods, right? We do look at present forces, driving forces of change, and we combine them in a way that we create possible futures. And say that in 10 years from now, I was just doing a project on the futures of entertainment industry, because entertainment is clearly affected by the pandemic. All of the service providers, they are trying to provide more entertainment from home including Netflix and Disney Plus, but they might be halted because they cannot shoot any more movies, right? So the future for them is quite uncertain. So there are several futures that we can look forward in 10 years from now. Say the entertainment industry might not have more movies to shoot because if the pandemic keeps on up and down for several years, as has been foreseen by some experts, in that case, they will need to pivot into other businesses to provide TV program and movies, right? Another scenario would be that they'd see a resurgence in the movie industry because if the pandemic starts and then stops quite fast, then people want to flock back to the cinema and there will be more investment in the movie industry. So more movie theater open, more celebrities working in this field, more stars, more programs and so on. So you can see a range of scenarios, right? And a company in the entertainment industry, could possibly be prepared for all of those scenarios, create strategy today that are robust to the whole set of scenarios.
But can I just ask, if you're a company and you're looking at all of these different scenarios, is perhaps some of the resistance amongst companies the idea that it's costly to prepare for so many different scenarios? Is that one of the reasons why they hang back?
Absolutely. So the conflict that you mentioned, the resistance between the short-term profit and the long-term preparation is one of the reasons why foresight is done only, at least at this moment, only in companies with a bit deeper pocket, right? We don't see that much in smaller companies because they're obviously looking at very short-term future. And oftentimes they don't have the resources to invest in the long-term future. So that's why our research also shows that foresight is more developed as companies grow bigger, basically.
We're speaking with Alessandro Fagnani, who is head of scenario consulting at Shaping Tomorrow. Alex, of course, we've been talking about corporate foresight, and I do understand you run workshops on foresights around the world. What I'm curious on is, how do you sell these workshops to the corporates? I mean, how much of the selling process and the workshops is data-driven?
First of all, being in academia, at least at the moment, pursuing a doctorate degree, a large majority of my workshops are in academic institutions. So I do try to promote corporate foresight in the academic domain because I do believe that it is important that business schools teach corporate foresight and it is widespread in the scientific establishment, which is currently not, so that it will slowly trickle down to the business world. To address your question directly, as for my workshop in corporations, basically it's very organic. Once I have the visibility given by institutions, corporation will contact me directly. So I don't really sell myself on that aspect. Foresight is still very thought leadership driven. So once you are established, I think because it's not so widespread, right? So we still listen to the thought leaders rather than to an established set of theory and methods that you can learn at every school. It's not taught at every school. That's why we still need, as practitioners, we still need to establish ourselves. And that is a battle. I won't hide it. It's a battle of fighting with basically the establishment on what is good to learn about business. Yeah.
So in a way, it does run parallel to sort of corporate philosophy in that sense. I'm curious though, Alex, in terms of culture, how do Singapore companies take to, you know, getting involved with corporate foresight or embracing corporate foresight as compared to other countries around the region?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. So I've been looking at Singapore, and Singapore is quite a phenomenal case in terms of the use of foresight at the public level. The Singapore government has been using foresight, has a history of very successful foresight over the past few decades. They have a unit called the Risk Assessment and Horizon Scanning at the Defense Science and Technology Agency, looking for future disruptions. Mm-hmm. Some colleagues at the Singapore Food Agency are doing an amazing job about the future of food and trying to foresee possible scenarios of the future of food. So at the public level, it is really good. But on the other hand, at the corporate level, so basically that's what I'm doing, at the business level, it has been lacking, especially compared to countries at least we have data about, which are European countries and North America. It's severely lacking, and that is why I'm trying to promote it also at the business level.
That's very curious. So I had this in the back of my mind, is that, you know, you're quite right on the public scale. Singapore sets an incredible example. I'm just thinking about all of us
Indeed.
Who work from home at the moment. Well, we can because of this incredible digital infrastructure and the fact that we have high-speed broadband, et cetera, et cetera. So these, you know, that forward thinking back in the day, that really has helped us in the here and now. But is the problem actually when the government thinks about it so hard that corporations get a little lazy about it?
It's two different things, right? I would say foresight at the governmental level does tackle a different set of problems. So it doesn't necessarily mean that if the government does it, corporations don't need to think about it. Governmental foresight, it's more about trying to foresee possible futures on a public level to better the society in general. So it is more humanitarian, so to speak, right?
Right.
And corporations, matter of fact, they do, I mean, also they shouldn't, but the first objective is to increase the bottom line, right? Now, we have a huge amount of discourse now and debate on how corporations should increase the bottom line and be beneficial to the communities, but that doesn't detract from the fact that the major objective of corporation is increasing the bottom line. So foresight in organizational settings as this first objective is to foresee possible futures to increase the bottom line. And as you can see, these two objectives, right, humanitarian foresight and increasing the bottom line, it's different. So
Right. They're
not mutually exclusive. That's my answer, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking that question on the fly.
Yeah.
I wanted to very quickly follow up with that and then hand it back to Elliot, which was basically about this video that's gone viral here in Singapore when the pandemic broke out of Bill Gates warning everyone that a pandemic would come. How have corporations, businesses been caught out so far as this pandemic goes? What could we have done better?
All right, that's a very interesting question. So you will have noticed that most of corporations have shown reactive measures, and those measures are quite necessary. I mean, in this case, we have people working from home, travel restrictions, the new forms of training to sort of make up for the lost time and so on. So all of those are very good reactive measures. But I want to make the case that corporate foresight, well, it's about proactive measures. So good corporate foresight would have probably not predicted the pandemic because we cannot predict the future, but most likely at least foreseen the possibilities of an outlier event in the environment, which might have entailed working from home. So good organizations, good responses at least to a pandemic would have been much more in advance and proactive in nature rather than reactive. So probably a good organization would have put on some policy on working from home beforehand and would have been more agile when the pandemic hit because its workforce was working from home already, at least in part, right? For instance, just giving you an example.
We're on the line with Alessandro Fregnani, head of Scenario Consulting at Shaping Tomorrow. Alex, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Alex. Just a quick wrap up. Does this mean we need to add more possible scenarios in terms of corporate foresight moving post COVID-19? Are you seeing a pickup in perhaps more of your corporate training?
Absolutely. I have seen a surge in management consultancies giving their attention to foresight, a lot of scenario work done by established firms. And that it is because it's quite useful at the moment to think about possible futures and post-pandemic. And certainly I do recommend corporations, if they do have an interest in foresight, this is the perfect time to start because so many foresight experts and management consultancy are providing free resources online for this, especially given the fact that now we can connect online so easily. And, yeah.
Or you could just look up Alessandro Fregnani, who is head of Scenario Consulting at Shaping Tomorrow. Alex, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you, Elliot. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.